For those of you who weren't here last week or didn't watch online last week, I did get a few comments from people afterwards for just the 30 seconds of me standing up here last week and just not saying anything. People were like, man, I thought something was wrong. I thought you forgot what you were going to talk about. I thought, what is happening? Because, as we talked about last week, we don't like to wait. And sometimes it makes us angry, and sometimes it makes us confused, and sometimes it's even hurtful. But we're not people who like to wait. So I wonder how many of you, just based on what we talked about last week, began to notice a little bit more, your either frustrations or maybe even the blessings of being able to wait. I don't know how much you paid attention to your wait times this week. This is me confessing to you to start out this morning. Okay. I had a hard time waiting this week. On Monday, I took my wife Christy's car to get repaired, and I thought I was going to get it back on Monday, and I did not. And I didn't hear about it on Tuesday, and I'm calling and I'm texting and I'm not getting any response, and that's frustrating. So then I went to the shop and talked to a woman there. She's like, you showed up to see how your car's doing? I'm like, yeah, I couldn't get a hold of anybody. Nobody updated me. It's been 24 hours that y'all have my car. I got no idea. She's like, well, that shouldn't happen. I said, well, I didn't think so either. And so she's like, well, let me see what we can find out. Folks, that was the same story. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Finally got the car back. Now, it's great. It got fixed. Everything works fine. But do you know, when I'm telling you how frustrated and angry I got, not just because it took longer than I expected. I thought, a few hours, not, 4 to 5 days. Not just that, but like, talk to me. Like, tell me. Give me updates. Let me know what's going on. The frustration of waiting combined with not knowing what's going on while you're waiting, oh my goodness. And some of y'all I know are like, man, get over it, it's not that big a deal. Okay, all right, fine. But some of y'all, there's a few of you that started getting heart palpitations as I was describing that whole scenario, because you would be frustrated too. And there was this psychologist, her name is Katie Sweeney, and she was talking on a podcast last year. And she was talking specifically about waiting and what that does to our minds and what that does to our emotions. And she talked about how when it comes to waiting, especially waiting for an extended period of time, for something that we either want or something that is happening. And she just said waiting combines these two challenging states of mind where we have uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. And lack of control. We can't do anything about it. And she said those are the two of the biggest challenges to our mindset when we have to wait. Because if you think about it, those are two of the things that we crave most in this life. I want to know what's happening next. I want to be aware of it. I don't want surprises. Give me information ahead of time. Tell me about it ahead of time. Let me get ready for it. I want to be aware of it. I don't want any uncertainty. So even if it's something that I don't like, as long as I can prepare myself ahead of time for it, that's okay. And when I don't have that ability, when waiting is combined with not knowing what's going to happen, oh, that really does something to our minds. That really does something to our emotions. Combine that also with not being able to do anything about it. The lack of control, the lack of being able to make something happen. And I'm just going to have to sit here and wait for whatever is happening, and I can't do anything to change it. I can't do anything about it. That's really frustrating, isn't it? It's stress-inducing. It's painful for some of us to have to wait like that. And that brings us back to what we started talking about last week. We hate to wait. It's hard. It's difficult. And we are so conditioned in our society nowadays, in our culture nowadays, because of the modern conveniences that we have, because of all of our advances in technology, we not only want what we want immediately, we expect it. And if I have to wait, if you're going to make me wait for something that I know I can get quick, I get really frustrated with that. And we get really bothered by it. We get irritated, we get anxious, we get angry. And we get that way with God too. When I am praying and asking God to do something and I want this thing done now, I want him to move now, I want to see him in action now, and it doesn't happen, we get frustrated with that. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm stressed, when I'm going through a hurtful situation, and I'm like, God, please take this away. Please do something about it, or please help give me the strength to get through it. And I feel like I'm still overwhelmed. I'm still in the middle of it. The fire is still raging, and I'm still waiting. Oh, that gets frustrating. When I compare my life to somebody else's, and I see how God seems to be blessing them and doing good things for them, and it's not happening for me, but wait a minute, God, I'm a Christian. I'm one of your followers. You're supposed to bless me. That's what the Bible says, right? You're supposed to take care of me. Why are you taking care of them and not taking care of me? Why am I having to wait? We get anxious. We get angry. We get frustrated because we hate to wait. And because we have such uncertainty, we have such lack of control. And yet what we talked about last week is that there are multiple times just in Scripture itself. I mean, not just taking examples of our own lives, just looking through the Word of God, we find multiple times that God either told people or caused people to wait. Mainly because it was worth it. He was going to do something, but they're going to have to wait for it. He was going to take action. Might even have been in the process of taking action. Maybe just not in the way that they anticipated or hoped for. But just wait. It's going to be worth it. And we talked last week about why God does that. Why God sometimes gives us these seasons of waiting, this pause in a certain period of my life. And we talked about how God, in those moments, it can remind us of God's presence. That when we are having to wait, we can actually use that time to go, oh, okay, look what God is doing. I see it now. I see how God has been in the middle of this with me the whole time, and I just wasn't paying attention. But now that I'm having to be still and wait, okay, now I see it. We talked about how God can use waiting to increase our faith, especially if there are expectations I have. I'm waiting for God to do something good. I'm waiting for him to fulfill his promises, and I believe that he's going to, do what I expect, or at least if he does something I don't expect, it's going to be something good. It's going to be something that's going to bless me or help me bless somebody else. And if I just wait through this difficult time, if I wait through this stretch where I'm not so sure, but I'm going to hold on to my connection with him, that's faith. That helps my faith grow when I choose to do that. We talked about how God sometimes uses waiting to help us. I mean, it requires us to surrender. I've got my agenda. I've got my plans. I've got the things that I want to accomplish and when I want to accomplish them. And that may not completely align with God's plans or his timeline. And when I have to have this time of waiting, that helps me, hopefully, surrender not just to his plans, but to his timing as well. So these are some of the things that we started talking about last week. I'm going to continue this morning. And one of the things, again, that we talked about last week of what God does or why God has us go through these times of waiting is that in those moments, in those periods, in those seasons of waiting, God actually uses those times sometimes to shape us. And the time of shaping that we go through is actually worth the wait. That if we will allow ourselves to surrender to what God is doing as he shapes us, that's actually worth it. He's going to make us into something better. He's going to shape us and mold us into something better. He's going to make something better in our lives or make us into something that can be useful in the life in other people's lives as well. We just got to wait for it. And it's worth it when we do. Now, you may be asking the question, okay, what are we talking about with shaping here? What does that look like? And in my mind, what I'm thinking about is just, you know, someone who sits down with a lump of clay at a potter's wheel and starts fashioning something with their hands. And I don't know if you've ever watched somebody do that before or watched somebody do it for an extended period of time, But somebody who just sits down at a potter's wheel and starts, you know, if somebody handed me a lump of Play-Doh, I might be able to fashion it into, I can do snakes really good. I can do bowls, like really small bowls, if I kind of, you know, I can do that. I can make a rock if I, you know. But somebody that knows how to fashion something out of that clay, I mean, there's something to that. There's something significant about that. God even talks about this. Hundreds of years ago, he talked to one of his prophets named Jeremiah. There's a book in your Bibles, your Bible apps called Jeremiah. If you want to turn there to Jeremiah chapter 18. God's people are going through a really difficult time. A lot of it because of their own choices, the consequences of their own choices. And God has been sending Jeremiah to his people with different messages. That's what a prophet does. God says, here's something I want my people to hear. He gives that message to the prophet. They go and proclaim that to the people and see what they do with it. And that's what Jeremiah has been doing for quite some time when we get to Jeremiah chapter 18. But in Jeremiah 18, God tells Jeremiah to go to this guy's house, the potter, this guy that makes pots for a living. And back in ancient times, man, that's you couldn't run down to Walmart and get you a pot. You had to go to the potter. And these potters would have these lumps of clay, and they would have wheels and sharpening tools and everything, you know, to fashion this lump of clay into a useful pot. And so Jeremiah goes down and he watches this guy fashion a pot for a while. As a matter of fact, the pot that he's working on ends up not being the way that he wants it to, and he mashes that up and starts over again. And Jeremiah's watching this whole process. Here's this guy fashioning, molding, shaping this pot. And when it doesn't go the way that he wants it to, he reshapes it. And here's what God says to Jeremiah, or God says to his people through Jeremiah. Begin at verse 5. Then the word of the Lord came to me and he said, can I not do the same with you, Israel, as this potter does? Declares the Lord, like clay in the hand of the potter, so you are in my hand, Israel. Now God is talking to his people, but the principle I believe still applies to us. That God looks at each one of us and those moments those times of even waiting where we're thinking, what is the purpose of my life? How is God using me? What is God doing for me? How can God bless me or use me to bless somebody else? All these different questions. And I think sometimes God is like, just wait. Because I am doing something. Don't you believe that I can make you into something? Don't you believe that I have the strength and the power and the ability and the wisdom to do that? Let me shape you. God wants to mold me. He wants to shape me. And he wants to fashion me into whatever he has in mind for me. He wants to smooth out the rough edges. He wants to kind of scrape off my greed and my lust and my selfishness, my laziness, my pride, my fear. He wants to move that stuff around, get it off of me, and make me into something that can be useful, not useful in my own eyes, but useful to him and useful to the people around me. God can use my relationships. God can shape my job. God can shape my family. God can shape just my purpose in life into whatever it is that he wants it to be if I choose to surrender to it. Here's the problem, though. Well, let me show it to you this way. I have two pots here. This may look familiar to some of you because you can buy these for, I don't know how much, the barcode's still on there, but you can buy these at Walmart, okay? And for these pots to be made, it's made of clay, and for it to be made, they have this factory with these huge mixers that mix up this clay and water or the sand and water and all these other things to make the clay. And then there's these big machines that just put lumps of that clay into already made molds, and a hydraulic press comes down and presses it into the shape of this pot in about 15 to 20 seconds. And then, you know, it's got to be fired because it's still soft, so you got to put it in the kiln and let the heat, you know, make it hard. And that takes, they do racks of these things, and they send them through these high-powered kilns, and you get this pot, and depending on how big it is, hours, maybe even minutes. And it's a, you know, it's a clay pot. It's useful. But there's not a lot to it, and there's not a lot of thought process that goes into it. It's a machine that dumps clay into a press and presses it into this, and there you go. This pot is a year old. And Mary Claire Ferguson made this last summer. And I wish she was here today so I could brag on her in person. But I had her come out to Green Valley Bible Camp last summer. And in front of all of our campers, while I was talking and we were singing some songs and worshiping together, she sat at the potter's wheel and took a lump of clay. And she had a design in mind. I just said, I need you to throw a pot. That's all I asked her to do. And she had this design in mind, and she sat with that clay, and she worked it with her hands, and she added water, and then she dried off a little bit, and she was shaping, and she was molding, and maybe adding a little more clay, or, you know, she just kept working with it while I'm talking and while we're doing different things. She concentrated. She had her mind on this thing. And she got done, and I was like, that's awesome. And she was like, that's one of the worst things I've ever made. You know, artists, they're always critiquing themselves, I guess. I was like, I love it. And she's like, really? I was like, can I have it? She's like, yeah. She took it to the studio that she was working at, and she etched Green Valley 2025, and she painted, and she fired it. And it took a while for me to get it back from her. And this is a whole lot more valuable to me than this. Now, both of them are clay pots. Both of them have some use. Both of them you can do things with. This took almost no thought, no effort, except for whoever's running the machines. This pot was in the hands of its creator for a while, with a plan in mind before it ever started taking shape. And as it was spinning on the wheel, and as things were you know, being added and taken away, there was shaping that was being done. Mary Claire's hands were fashioning this into what she pictured in mind, what it would look like. And she took the time to finish it off, and she took the time to get it etched and painted. She took the time to fire it and make sure that at least, even if in her mind it wasn't the best that it could have been, at least it was the best that she could make it at the time. And I want you to see the difference there, because I think that a lot of us, even if we have faith in God, and even if we believe God's going to shape us and he's going to do something with me, he's got a plan for my life, he's got a purpose for my life, but God, just make it obvious now. I don't want to wait. So just make me like everybody else if you want to, God. Give me success. Give me a good relationship. Give me good kids and a good marriage, and give me a good job, and give me, you know, service projects every once in a while that I can sign up for, and just do that now. We want God to shape us, or at least we say we do, but we want that quick. When God starts to take his time, as God does, and he has an individual plan for me, and he has an individual plan for you, and he starts shaping and molding and creating, and my shaping doesn't look the same as your shaping. And God's bringing some things in your life that he's not bringing into mine. He's bringing some things in my life that he's not bringing into yours, and it takes time. It's taking effort, but I'm surrendering myself to the hands of my creator and saying, take as much time as you need, because whatever it is, whatever you make me into, is going to be beautiful. You're going to do something amazing with me, and I am willing to wait. See, God takes his time with us. God causes us to wait sometimes. But in that time of waiting, God is often trimming and scraping and squeezing and molding and shaping. He's getting rid of the impurities in my life that don't need to be there. He's getting rid of the things that I might love more than him. He's designing my character, and he's shaping my marriage, and he's fashioning my career, and he's trimming and working with my friendships so that those things can not just be a blessing to me, but I can use those relationships and I can use those things that he puts in my life to bless other people. But I just often want the easier method. Make it quick and make it easy. Don't make it painful. And by all means, don't take your time, God. Show me right now what the plan is and just make it happen. And God may have a plan for my life, and God may have a plan for the talents that he's given me, the gifts that he's given me, but it's going to take time for those things to happen. And while I am waiting often and even praying often for God to work for me, God, do this, give me this job, give me this house, give me these friendships. God, do this for me. Or while I'm waiting sometimes for God to do stuff around me. God, make this happen. Make these people treat me better. Make this job easier. Make this part of my life more comfortable. While I'm waiting for God to do things for me or do things around me, what I need to pay attention to the reality is that God is often doing things in me. And in this time of waiting, in this time of in this pause in my life where I'm waiting for the next thing for God to do, for God to answer my prayers, for God to move, God is moving. I may just not see it because he's not doing it around me. He's doing it in me. Does that make sense? Because here's what God does. Here's what God uses, I guess I should say, to shape me. I mean, if you watch somebody at a potter's wheel, they got sponges, they got, I don't know, sticks and these little scraper things. They got all sorts of tools that they use besides just their own hands to shape a pot. And God uses different things to shape me as well. And so sometimes God may use my circumstances to shape me. And while I'm waiting for God's response, while I'm waiting for God's answer, while I'm waiting for the healing or the plan to evidence itself, he may actually use the circumstances that I'm in that moment to actually shape me into something better. We mentioned this last week. I want to bring it up again. We have this guy David in the Bible, right? And David is talked about in the book of 1 Samuel in your Old Testament in the Bible. And in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, David is anointed king. He's a kid. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he's a kid, maybe a teenager, when he is told, you will be the next king of Israel. And initially, things kind of go good for David. I mean, he goes and kills a giant with a slingshot, and he goes and fights other battles, and he wins them. Things are going really good for David until they're not. And the current king tries to kill David multiple times. And David ends up having to run for his life. And he has to live out in the wilderness and in the woods. And he's constantly on the run. He's constantly being chased. And he makes friends, but then they become enemies. They betray him and try to turn him over to the king. His own wife betrays him. He tries to flee and become a citizen of a different country. And they're like, oh, wait, no, you're the guy that used to fight against us in battles. We better capture you. And so in order to avoid capture in this other country, he has to act like he's insane. And he starts drooling all over the place and biting doorposts because he's trying to escape. He's worried for his family. He ends up moving his family to another country so that nothing happens to them while he's on the run. And folks, that happens for years. I mean, we read through some of these stories sometimes, and it's almost like it just happened within a matter of weeks. These are years. David doesn't actually become king over Israel until he is 30 years old. What do you think David felt with all those circumstances that he was dealing with? Fear? Frustration? Anger? Read through the Psalms. You'll find all those emotions on display. David had this long time to wait for what God promised him was going to happen. You will be the next king of Israel. years down the road, after all this awful stuff has happened to you. But what was God doing with all that chaos and all that turmoil that David had to endure? God was using those experiences to shape him. Because once David became king, well, first of all, he's a much better warrior when he became king. But he's also a better leader. He grew closer to God. His faith grew in those circumstances. He became a better king. He helped other people grow in their faith because he held on to his during all those negative circumstances. And this is what James is talking about in James chapter 1, hundreds of years after David lived, in the other part, you know, towards the end of your Bible, in the book of James. James chapter 1, James talks about choosing joy. And when you have negative circumstances in your life, you need to choose joy. And when awful things are happening, you need to choose to be joyful. Not just giddy and happy, but I'm going to be at peace, and I'm going to trust, and I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm going to choose joy in this moment. And then here's what he says in verse 4 of James chapter 1. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What's James saying? All these negative circumstances, all these problems that you find yourself in, those things can actually be good for you. And you need to view it that way. And if nothing else, it will help you develop not only your faith, but it'll help you develop perseverance. I can get through tough things. I can get through hard times. You learn how to do that when you experience tough things and hard times. But look at how James words it here. Let perseverance finish. What does that mean? Keep waiting until the process is done. Stay in those circumstances until God's done, until you are fully complete, until God has shaped you into what he plans for you to be. See, God sometimes allows problems, criticism, judgment, people mistreating us, stress. God allows those things to happen. Not because he's mean, but because he's using those things to shape me into something that's going to be even better. So God may use my circumstances to shape me. God may also use my consequences to shape me. Sometimes I make hurtful choices. Sometimes I do things that bring hurt into my life, cause me to hurt other people. Sometimes I make ungodly choices. Here's the things that God says to do. Here's the things that I end up doing. Here's the things that God says, please stay away from those things, and I still do them anyway. And when I make those choices, there's always going to be consequences. And even if I recognize that was a wrong choice, that was a mistake, God, I'm sorry. I believe with all my heart God's forgiven me. The grace is there. The blood of Jesus purifies me from all sin. I've received forgiveness. That's what Jesus came to this earth for. Even if I hurt somebody else, they may have even forgiven me. You're forgiven. I'm not going to hold this against you. And yet, sometimes, I still got to deal with the consequences. The grace is there, the forgiveness is there, but I still got to deal with the consequences of the choices that I made, right? There's a king that's talked about, and I think we talked about him in this church family before too. In the book of 2 Chronicles, there's a king that was way after David, a descendant of David. He's a king over Judah. His name is Manasseh. And when he becomes king, he decides, don't want to worship God anymore. Don't want to keep God's laws anymore. Don't want to treat people well anymore. Only want to think about myself and things I want to do. And so that's what he does, because he's the king. He can do whatever he wants. And so he starts worshiping other gods. He starts bringing idols of other gods into the temple of God to worship them there. He starts mistreating poor people and people that can't take care of themselves. He starts accepting bribes and people are not getting justice. He even takes his own children and sacrifices them to these other gods. And finally, Jehovah God says, enough. And he allows the king of Assyria to come and capture Manasseh. And the king of Assyria comes to Judah, to Jerusalem, and captures the king of Judah, Manasseh, and he puts a ring in his nose. And then he has somebody, probably with either a chain or a long pole that has a hook on the end of it, puts the hook through the ring and walks him all the way, hundreds of miles, back to the city of Babylon. You talk about humiliation, degradation. And he throws him in prison, and he's in shackles in prison. And in that moment, he has a change of heart. Second Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 12 says, in his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord. He sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. When did Manasseh start turning his heart back to God again? After the problems were over with? Or while he was still dealing with the consequences of his choices? He's in prison. He's in shackles. He's locked up. He has no freedom. He has no kingship anymore. And it's in that time of waiting in that prison cell, still dealing with his and bearing the brunt of his own consequences to his own choices, that's when his life turned around. And he started seeking God again. God used Manasseh's consequences to shape him into something better. By the way, if you keep reading the story, he gets set free. He goes back to his kingdom. He clears out all the idols. He starts doing all the things that God wants him to do. It's a massive reform in the nation. God did some really good things with Manasseh. But God used the time that Manasseh was in prison dealing with the consequences of his choices to shape him. And sometimes that's what God uses to shape me. I'm the one that got myself into this mess. It's my consequences that caused this hurt, this stress, these problems that I'm dealing with. But God can still use that. It just may take time. I may have to wait through that time of dealing with those consequences before God shapes me into what he can make me into. I may have to go to rehab. I may have to go to therapy. I may be in debt for a while. There may be some distance between me and this person that I really care about because I've caused this problem between the two of us. I may have to go and apologize, maybe multiple times. There's some difficulties that I'm going to deal with, and God is going to use those difficulties that I have brought on myself to actually shape me into something better. But I got to wait through that process. God also may use other people to shape me. While I'm waiting for God to give me his answer, while I'm waiting for him to reveal his purpose or bring me peace or whatever it is that I'm waiting for, he may bring other people in my life that will help to shape me as well. And maybe it's somebody that has gone through the same circumstances that I'm going through. Maybe it's somebody that's experienced the same consequences that I'm dealing with. Maybe it's somebody that just has a lot of wisdom and a lot of insight. Maybe it's somebody that's really good at encouraging and just telling me, hang in there and I'm here for you and lean on me if you need to. And maybe it's somebody that's going to hold me accountable, somebody that's actually going to get in my face and go, you're bringing this on yourself. Let's do better. But God will use other people sometimes to bring into my life in order to shape me. And sometimes that's exactly what I need or who I need. We're talking about David before, right? Being out in the wilderness on the run, being discouraged, thinking, I thought I was supposed to be king, and look at me now, I'm living in the woods and running for my life. What is happening? And in one of those times when he's out in the wilderness, and one of the reasons that he's out in the wilderness in this moment is because he thought he was going to be safe with this certain group of people, and they actually betrayed him. And so he feels completely alone. He feels like he can't trust anybody. He feels like this is not the way that his life was supposed to go. And in 1 Samuel chapter 23, it says that his best friend Jonathan came to him. Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. We don't know all of their conversation. We don't know everything that Jonathan said. But if you keep reading there in 1 Samuel 23, Jonathan basically says, hey, remember God's promise. He said he's going to make you king. He's going to make you king. And you're going to be a good one. I'm going to be your right-hand man. And God's going to make something good come from this. You just have to wait. And that time spent with that person helped to shape David and helped to shape his faith and helped him to hold on to his faith, because sometimes that's what we need. It's not just my circumstances. It's not just my consequences. Sometimes it's people that God puts in my life that will help me focus. That will be that source of encouragement. That will have that kind word. That will be that shoulder to lean on. That will be giving me the words I need to hear so that God can continue to shape me into whatever it is that he's making me into. And these are just some of the things that I think God uses, some of the tools that God uses to make me into something better. And he often uses those methods while I'm waiting for him to reveal his answer, for him to reveal his plan, for him to reveal his purpose. Now, why does all this matter? I think because some of us in this room, or some of us watching online, whether they're watching on live right now or going to watch later, there's some of us right now that are in a time of waiting. And if you're not there now, you will be. It happens to all of us. But maybe if I'm in that time right now, and this time of waiting is this season of waiting that I'm in is not going away quickly. And it's not just a few days. It seems to be going on longer than that. And I'm getting frustrated. And I may be starting to get anxious and maybe wondering if God really does have a plan for my life. If God really is doing something in my life. I may wonder if God can actually do what he has promised to do. I wonder if he's actually listening to my prayers. I wonder if God actually even cares about what's going on in my life. Because I just have to keep waiting, and I'm exhausted from the wait, and I can't see what's coming next. I can't prepare for it. I don't know how to prepare for it, and I have no control over it. I just have to wait for this time to end. And if that's where I find myself right now this morning, then the best thing I can do is choose to just hang on and keep waiting and trust that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, real quick, I know we're going to wrap up. I'm going to do this real fast because that sounds really great. Hey, keep waiting. Okay. How do I do that? I'm going to do this super fast. So screenshot these or write them down quick. Number one, keep waiting. How do I keep waiting? Well, you keep waiting. That sounds redundant, but that's really part. I make the choice to keep waiting. We talked about that last week, right? Keep waiting. God's got a plan. God's doing something. I may not even see it, but God's doing something. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is going to make something good. He's going to make something good happen in my life, or he's going to do something with me to make good in somebody else's life. He may not prevent the negative things from happening to me, but he's going to do something good with them or do something good on the other side of them. I just need to keep waiting because it's worth it. I'm going to see it. I'm going to see what God is going to do. I'm going to see what God is shaping me into. I just need to keep waiting. It's worth the wait. Number two, pray about it. Pray about it. Ask God. Beg God. Get frustrated with God. He's a big God. He can handle it. You're welcome to vent to him and just tell him what's on your heart. God, I'm tired of waiting. God, I don't understand. God, make this happen quicker. He may not give you the answer that you're looking for, but he's always willing to listen. I mean, this is what James says in James chapter 5. You know, we talked about him saying, you know, you need to choose joy when things go wrong. He says this later on in that same letter, chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Just pray. Just talk. Keep that communication with God open. Number three, I need to guard my thoughts. When I have this period of waiting, it becomes really easy to only focus on the negative. That happened to me with my wife's car. All I could think about was how long it was taking and why nobody was talking to me when I wanted them to. And you know what ended up happening? I got the car back, and I was still frustrated about how long it took. The car's fixed. Works great. Matter of fact, there was some kind of policy I didn't even know that I had that covered the cost. Did I celebrate that? No. I only focused on the waiting and the frustration. It's easy for us to do. We only focus on how things are not going the way we want them to or when we want them to. Look at what God says to his people through Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. That's Isaiah talking to God. He says, God, you will provide complete peace for those whose minds are steadfast, who guard their thoughts and say, I'm not going to let the negativity take over. I'm going to focus on the good stuff that God has done, is doing, and I believe will do. That's what I'm going to think about. And Isaiah says, when folks do that, God, you give them peace. It makes it easier to keep waiting when we guard our thoughts and don't let the negativity creep in and take over. And lastly, while I'm waiting for God to finish shaping, I need to find a way to serve. I need to find a way to do something, be active, to do something for someone else. While he is shaping me, I can go ahead and use the gifts and the talents and abilities that he's already given me to bless somebody else. You know, when we read about the story of the birth of Jesus, we focus on him and on Mary and Joseph and all that, and we forget sometimes about Jesus' cousin, John. And so John, his parents were Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Zechariah and Elizabeth were good people. I mean, Zechariah was a priest. That was one of the best people you could be in the Jewish mindset of the day. But they couldn't have kids. For years, they tried, they tried, they tried. They couldn't get pregnant, couldn't have kids. They got to be in old age, they got to be past childbearing years, and they just were heartbroken because they never had kids. They prayed, they poured their hearts out. God, please give us a child. And he never did. Until he did. But while they were waiting for all those years, year after year after year, the answer was no, no, no. Look at what Zechariah was doing. Luke chapter 1, verse 8. Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God. You know what Zechariah didn't do when his prayer didn't get answered the way he wanted, when he wanted? You know what he didn't do? He didn't go, done with this then. What does Zechariah choose to do? Keep serving. Keep finding ways to serve God, to serve other people. Because even if I don't get the answer that I want, even if it doesn't happen when I want, God still got usefulness for me, purpose for me, a plan for me, a way for me to bless other people. So folks, if you're in that time of waiting, make sure that you take the focus off of yourself and find ways to serve other people. If I will keep waiting, if I will pray, if I'll guard my thoughts and I keep serving, that's going to help. That's going to help me do better at waiting while God shapes me into what he has in mind for me to be. In this moment, right now, which one would you rather? Which one would you rather have? Which one would you rather be? So many of us, we just want it quick. God, make me into something, but do it fast. Let's be a people who choose to put our hands, to put ourselves in the hands of the Creator and say, whatever time it takes, make me into whatever you want. That's easier said than done. And some of us may need some help with that. Some of us may need some prayer. We may need some accountability. We may need somebody to help show us how to allow that to happen. So we're going to offer right now, we do this every Sunday, we're going to stand up in just a second, we're going to sing a song together, and we're going to offer the opportunity for anybody that's here this morning that needs prayers and needs help, that's confused, that's anxious, that's hurting, that's feeling guilty, that never has given their lives to Jesus before to know what it's like to be shaped into something better by our God. You're welcome to come to the front as we sing this song together and say, here's what's going on in my life, here's what's on my heart, will you guys pray for me. Will you guys help me? And this church family will. Our God will shape you into something better, and it can start today. It can start in this moment while together we stand and sing.